Blake from Powerhouse Solar. Like most people, you are probably considering how you're going to reduce your household expenses and make those dollars stretch a little further. At Powerhouse Solar, we specialize in helping people find peace in the chaos. By lowering their electric bills through solar energy, we put them back in control and help them save money. We design solar systems that lower your energy bills, give you a manageable monthly payment you can count on, and avoid the electric rate increases. If you want energy independence with a battery backup system, we do that too. Getting solar installed on your home or business is a smart way to combat rising energy bills, and choosing the superior quality of SunPower Solar is equally important. Powerhouse Solar, we're a premier dealer for SunPower. We choose to partner with SunPower because they are the strongest American solar manufacturing company with the best warranty and the most efficient solar panel in the world. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or learn more at powerhousesolar.com.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today, 338-2112.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Redding's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call into KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You have joined We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
Man.
We're getting good at that.
Oh, man, I can say my name.
Hey, don't laugh.
Hey, sometimes.
Don't laugh. A few years ago, you wouldn't even come in this room.
Sometimes, I would look in the window and hide.
He's like, I'm never coming in there.
I'd make funny gestures through the glass.
Never say never.
Wasn't that long ago we were asking this guy to get coffee for us.
That's right.
No,
that was
our
coffee boy.
You were our coffee. You were a good coffee boy.
Yeah, I was.
It is kind of
I took care of the crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we're on our own.
It's just the American way. You work your way up. I started coffee boy. Man, I'm on the air now. See? That's how it works.
Yeah. You be somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, while we're killing a couple of minutes.
Super Bowl today.
A couple of seconds.
It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and expand on that.
I can't because I don't even know who's playing.
I knew you were
Yeah, the folks that were in here earlier were leaving and all talking football, and it's like, I don't even know. Is that guy a pitcher, or what is he?
Just totally soft following it.
I'm not a sports. I don't do sports. They don't pay me very well.
No, but he got me hooked on some stupid game on my telephone.
Well, I can't help
Thanks
that.
Thanks a lot. We stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, but I'm sharp as a whip now.
Stinking games. They're like
puzzles.
Crack.
They're like puzzles with you.
Well, that's like crack, too. Yeah, I mean, all of it. It's just,
she can't walk by a puzzle without picking up a
crack?
Few pieces. Huh?
Is there still crack? Or have they moved on?
No, they're still
doing...
Can
we still joke about crack?
Yeah,
is that still
yeah,
something
they're still doing
understand?
Crack. Yeah, that's a big inner city thing, yeah.
Okay, well, yep, it's like crack.
Yeah, it's like crack.
Yeah, where you make a castle, and then you grow wheat and all that. Man,
yeah,
it requires constant maintenance. It's
kind of like Sims, yeah.
What's it called?
I'm not going to say it.
Kings of somebody?
Yeah.
Clash?
I was just to say, we envy the listeners in Philadelphia because they already know who won the game.
Oh, no.
They actually know who was playing. They're way ahead of us. Way, way, way.
Yeah.
So let's see. Hey, for 5 seconds, let's just talk about how great the website's doing. Can we just chat about that for 2 seconds?
Yeah, let's do. Does anybody go to our website?
We are at 51,172 since December of 2014. So like 14 months. So people are actually going there and listening, which brings me to my next point. If you would like to advertise with us, sponsor the show at some level or another, and you put your ad on our site, odds are people are going to see it.
People are going to see it. That's true.
It's getting a ton of traffic. And thanks go out to Robert Exter for doing the commercial free archives that he holds on his server, because that's really handy, and they're a little bit higher quality, so they're easy for people to download. He splits them into 2 hours, and Bob here, our engineer, he takes care of all the stuff that goes to Philadelphia and gets that all situated. So, folks in Philly, you have to thank the other Bob. So there's Robert and Bob. You have choices.
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Somebody release the hounds.
Bill, Bill for you now.
Release the hounds.
Release the hounds. That's not me.
It's not Bill?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No, it's not me.
It's my wife.
Oh, nice. Hi, Ann. Okay, so you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. That would be that popular site that I kind of neglected to mention.
Yes.
We've got archives going all the way back to 2010, and always looking for shows, actually. I heard a guy last night that I'm going to try to get. I heard him on NRA Radio on Sirius. His name is Nick Adams, and has an interesting book, Retaking America, Crushing Political Correctness. I thought, oh, wow, that'd be fun to talk about.
Got
to
read that one.
Oh, plus he's from Australia, so he has a really fun accent. So anyway, that's one of the projects in the hopper. But I would like to know what you guys think, and you can email us. So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, our email addresses, phone numbers, all that good stuff is there. All right, Bob, how are we doing over there in your department?
Oh, Elaine's been standing by.
Get out. You already called her and everything?
Oh,
I didn't even hear you say anything.
Oh, she's been in the holding pen.
Oh, my God.
She's been in the imaginary green room.
We've had her hostage for all this time. Good morning, Elaine. Or afternoon.
Good morning. I've been enjoying your banter, and I have to get that book you just mentioned on the political correctness.
Well, his book isn't out yet either, which is interesting because your book and his book are going to come out right around the same time.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that nice? So let's see, before
absolutely.
We get all caught up in today's shenanigans with federal Indian policy, because God knows there are a lot of shenanigans going on there. Your next book, I put a note at the bottom of the page for today. It's called Slumbering Thunder, A Primer for Understanding Federal Indian Policy and Confronting the Spread of Tribalism across America. I like it.
Yep.
And I like your little blurb. The book is intended to serve as a framework for basic information on federal Indian policy. So, you know, there are people out there that are going, oh, my God, why do I care about that? Oh, wait, there's more.
Yeah.
It consists of a compilation of professional papers, commentaries, formal letters. Guess who we're confronting? EPA. We get to talk about them today.
Oh, I'm
everyone
so happy.
Loves to hate the EPA.
They have messed up in so many ways.
Oh, my God. And the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is a lesser-known pack of wolves, and then U.S. Fish and Wildlife, another popular agency, and you highlight a bunch of legal cases and all that, so it's going to be a great resource for people.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal, and it requires political incorrectness just to buy it, just to buy it and read it.
That's true.
I call federal Indian policy the best-kept secret, because it is. And it has required me to be intentionally politically incorrect and speak out loud and in print everywhere I can about this, because it involves many, many non-tribal citizens that live on Indian reservations, and I don't think that most of America understands that or realizes that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because it's not a book that's slamming the Indian tribes. It's actually just highlighting some of the injustices that a lot of these tribes are going through because of federal policy.
Yeah, it's all about government decisions. Everything I speak on is about government decisions, whether it's federal, state, tribal, or local. If it's a government decision that affects me or my community, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to speak out, and I encourage others to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's so much.
But that's not politically correct.
No, but there is so much that's wrong. It's really easy to skip this part.
Yeah, and it just seems like lately, if you speak out against the government, it's politically incorrect. And I think because so many people,
according to the government,
well, I think just so many people are on these government subsidies and programs that they don't want to give it up. I mean, they want reform, but they don't want to lose what they're getting, and they don't.
Explain the rise of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
The inexplicable rise, we should say that.
The young people that are following him, it's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't that something? Informed, or are they, you know, I just don't understand that.
Oh, I think they're informed. They just see him as Santa Claus. He's going to just take care of them.
Yeah, he's grandpa, and he's going to just hand them money and just make everything okay.
Yep.
Hey, Elaine, give folks a little bit of a bit on your background. You were with us a couple of weeks ago, but for people who missed that show and feel like they came in late to the movie, give them a little snapshot of how you got involved in this and kind of what your background is.
Well, thank you. It was really through my professional career. I have a master's in public administration, and I've always worked for small local governments like the city of Ojai, California for 10 years, and then I moved up to Toppenish, Washington, which is in the middle. It's a municipality right in the middle of the enormous Yakima Indian Reservation in Washington State. I was the city's community development director. So that was my introduction, and I was really excited to live on a real reservation because I am of Cherokee ancestry. My mother and grandmother were enrolled Cherokee, and my husband is Shoshone. So I've always had this lifetime interest and affection for all things American Indian, and I still do. I still do and always will have. Where I got into some serious personal and professional conflicts on this was when I became aware that tribal governments, which are by their constitutions restricted to governing their own people and their own land, tribal governments, particularly when gaming came on, started pushing out to govern non-tribal peoples and persons. And that pushing out is a tidal wave today. It's being fomented by many federal agencies, particularly the Bureau of Indian Affairs, but all the federal agencies are doing what is forming up in my mind as the next article. I'll probably call it something like the unsettling of the West. The Western states are being taken down, and Indian policy is part of it, a big piece of it, but not all of it. So that's kind of my background. I have a professional career of community development, economic development, planning, and working for local governments. And I've lived for 25 years on three different Indian reservations. So since 1992, I've been informing myself and studying, because when I came up out of Southern California, I knew nothing about these things. And I've been an avid researcher ever since. It was scary to me as a citizen on an Indian reservation that a tribal government would think that it can tax and govern me when I may not go to their meetings. They have no authority to do that, but they're all doing it. The other thing that most Americans do not realize is these reservations don't sit in vacuums. They're all located within counties, towns, municipalities. There's 1,061 local governments on Indian reservations, and they are predominantly non-Indian. There's a good deal of state and county and local law enforcement and municipal and county regulations and enforcement on Indian reservations. So the problem is we have this co-located scenario where you have state and county and local jurisdictions within the boundaries of Indian reservations governing the non-tribal persons, and then you have the tribal government governing its lands and its people. That was fine for years, but that is now being torn asunder by the expansion of tribal government over non-members and the replacement of state jurisdiction and protections of non-Indian people on these reservations.
So you have basically... You have two sets of rules for the same piece of property, basically, and just depends on whether you're registered in the tribe or not registered as to what laws you're governed by.
It's a patchwork. It's definitely a patchwork. And tribal members are full U.S. citizens and subject to the state and county regulations and such as that, but they are also subject to their tribal government and as an enrolled member on lands that are controlled by the tribe. It's a dilemma for tribal members. It's a big dilemma for tribal members, and as now it's a big dilemma for all of us.
Elaine, if they work on the reservation for like a casino or something like that, do they pay taxes on that? They don't, right?
No, if they're an employee working in a casino on Indian Trust land, they don't pay taxes. If they're an enrolled member of the tribe, right. The non-tribal employees at casinos, and there's a lot of them, I think they do. There are a lot of tax exemptions. In fact, almost everything about tribal governments and tribal businesses are tax exempt.
Do you have any idea at the federal level how much money we give to these tribes?
Well, gaming alone, they take in somewhere between $27 and $30 billion a year in just casino gaming.
Wow.
In terms of federal subsidies, that is the big mysterious question for many decades. We have asked, myself and many others following this, have asked the Bureau of Indian Affairs and other federal agencies how much and how many annual dollars go out from 29 federal agencies to 566 tribal governments. How many annual tax dollars? The answer we've had is, well, we try to look at that, but we just can't. Nobody knows. If you just do some simple math, 566 times many multi-millions a year times 29 agencies, that's a big load on the American taxpayer for duplicative government.
Well, and also the money that comes in from gaming is non-taxable. So
right.
So they're being right, wrong, or indifferent. There's no income from that money either.
No, gaming is an entertainment industry. It doesn't provide any goods or services. It's just an entertainment industry. So not only is that money tax exempt, but all those folks that go into tribal casinos are taking their money they would otherwise put into non-tribal businesses or other taxable services. They're taking those quarters and those dollars into casinos and donating them to a tax-exempt government. That's money not available to your county and state tax base.
The gaming money that comes in from, say, casinos in Las Vegas and Reno, now that is taxable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the difference.
Yep.
All the gaming industries are entertainment industries. But at least the non-tribal gaming industries are supporting the state and federal taxes. Tribal casinos do not.
Wow.
We need to tell Grandma, if you want to go gamble in the casino that pays taxes.
Yeah, no kidding. And I just don't think people realize how much money is involved. But we're also going to get into some of the laws that... actually citizens of the country outside of reservations would love to have access to, but do not. We need to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Elaine Willman. We're going to talk more about federal Indian policy, and I promise you we'll have fun, even though probably the Super Bowl is beckoning if you're listening to us on Sunday. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Super Bowl doesn't start for 3 hours. We're good.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. And how long does it take to pour chips in a bowl?
And you're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Looking for a perfect Valentine's Day weekend? Look no further than Wind River Resort and Casino. Enjoy a delectable meal for you and your loved one that includes steak and lobster, chocolate dipped strawberry champagne, appetizers, and more. This special dinner is offered February 12th, 13th, and 14th and includes music and dancing to Linda Bott on the 13th and Mark McAbee on February the 14th, Valentine's Day. Also ask about the sweetheart package at the hotel that includes champagne, $50 food vouchers, and more surprises. Call Wind River Resort for reservations, 243-3377, Wind River Resort and Casino.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
If you can count to, what is it, 27 billion?
Yeah, 27 billion.
Yeah, kind of above my pay grade there. So you're listening to We the People Radio. We hope you'll join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Send it to your friends and family and people who need to get educated. We've got all sorts of programs, and if you missed last week, which would have been the 31st of January, we did a really interesting show on politics. A lot of times we talk, well, most of the time, we talk about policy, but this was all about politics. The first hour was all about campaign and related issues, PACs and the money and how that works and what Citizens United was all about and who's for it and who's against it, that kind of thing. And the second hour was all about the caucuses and all this stuff that we're being bombarded with right now. So why do some states have caucuses? Why do some have primaries? If you're curious about all that, you can hear it commercial-free. It's on our archives for January 31st. All right, back to Elaine Willman. All right, Elaine. Okay, Bill, I have a question for you.
Elaine, we talk about all these billions of dollars that the casinos take in gaming revenue. It must really be making all the members quite wealthy with that kind of a trickle-down effect, isn't it?
That varies tribe to tribe. I'll give an example of the Puyallup tribe in Washington State. They take good care of their tribal members. Their tribal members, I believe the last I heard, and this was some years ago, so it may be more or less, but from the gaming revenue of the Puyallup, each tribal member gets $1,200 a month. So if you have a family of four, you're sitting pretty as a tribal member. And there's a couple of tribes in Minnesota that take very good care, and their members do benefit from the tribal gaming. But they're the exception to the rule. The tribal gaming money generally goes everywhere else but to tribal families. And I mean seriously so.
And that's really hard for me to understand because, you know, they have all these problems. I mean, we've got casinos out here in California that have actually been shut down because of infighting and drive-by shootings, and, you know, they're all fighting over who gets the money.
Yeah.
I mean, with that kind of income, they could make every one of their members quite wealthy, but, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Why don't they do that?
The Indian Gaming Regulatory Act was intended to provide economic development for the tribal governments to improve the quality of life on the reservations. It just doesn't do that, and it's a very different governing system. It's not a governing, the tribal governments are not ones that follow the U.S. federal constitution or even state constitutions. They have their own constitutions. And generally speaking, there's exceptions, of course, but generally speaking, tribal leadership is taken over by what we call ruling families of the tribe, of the tribes. And those ruling families do quite well, and very few others do quite well. So that's a very serious issue. It does, of course, if you have a reservation that is not giving its gaming money to its members, of course there's going to be some tensions and conflict and strife among the members themselves. But
that hasn't
changed the picture.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking when you go to some of these casinos. Yeah. You drive through the Indian land, and you look at how a lot of those folks are living, and then you drive up to these big posh casinos, and you know you can't hardly find a place to park.
Yeah.
It just it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, you mentioned the place to park, and there's two other pieces that I think the American public is not fully aware of. And one is, when you drive onto that parking lot of a tribal casino, should your car be vandalized or somebody come up and steal your purse or you get mugged or you slip and fall and become injured on that parking lot, you have no recourse. You may not sue them. You're on your own. They have tribal sovereign immunity, and you're just stuck. The other thing is, if you're enjoying that wonderful all-you-can-eat buffet in the casinos, it's important to note that those tribal restaurants and buffets are not subject to state or county health regulations, so you're on your own there, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, yes.
Hey, and that's why the food's so good.
Is that
pardon?
Is that Bill said that's why the food's so good.
They can use transfers.
It could be. Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm sure that they want to do right by their customers. But nonetheless, they are not subject to state or county health regulations.
And is that in every state? I can't imagine like California rolling over and letting them just...
Every tribal casino has to sit on federally Indian trust land, which means there are no state or county regulations that apply. Not even building inspections. Not even state or county building inspections.
Oh, wow.
That's a neat deal if you can get it. And this isn't always, I guess, one of the things that we've seen in our area, the building of whatever it is, whether it's housing or casino or whatever, doesn't necessarily have to be on historically Aboriginal land. It sometimes it just pops up on the edge of a town. Or how does that all work?
Well, tribal governments are very busy acquiring all the land they can, and that's what the primary use of gaming money is for. And they can acquire land on or off a reservation. When they acquire that land on the open market, and they generally pay very good prices above market value, and so they acquire those lands, then they will pursue a process of having those lands taken off the state tax rolls and placed in trust, held in title by the United States on behalf of their tribe. So then they can go forward on that Indian trust land and build whatever they want, and they're not subject to state regulations.
Okay, so that that answers one of my questions was, you see... in our town, even you see hotels, mini marts, stuff like that that open up that are run by the tribe, but they're a long way from the reservation or their casino. But it's actually an Indian held business.
Uh huh.
And so that doesn't those businesses don't pay the same taxes as maybe the guy next door.
Exactly. Nor do they have to follow local or county planning or zoning or any other regulations. And so if they buy a property and build some housing on tribal trust land in your community, and somehow it just kind of deteriorates and falls apart, there's nothing that the local municipality or county or state can do.
So when they buy, say, a barren piece of property in a town, they can build a hotel or a mini mart or a gas station or whatever, and they don't have to wait for the same licensing regulations and processes that the rest of us do?
They do while it's still in the state tax base. But once they move through the process of taking that property off the state tax base, then the state and county regulations go away and they can do whatever they want.
So they would typically wait until that property is off the tax base before they develop it.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And one of the strangest ironies to me, you hear very frequently that there's a real distrust for the Great White Father and the United States government. Great tension and distrust. And so my husband asked the question once, and he's just shown it. He asked the question of a tribal leader once. He says, I don't understand this. How can you pay top dollar for a piece of property and you don't trust the federal government, and then you go through the process of taking that off of state tax base and give that property free to the federal government?
Mm-hmm.
They do that just to escape the taxes.
Well,
but
sure.
They also get jurisdiction. But the federal government has no obligation to return that property. The federal government can just say, hey, thank you very much. You know?
So the federal government has jurisdiction on that property, or the Indian laws?
The federal government has title to the property, and the tribal government has beneficial use and occupancy of the property, of Indian trust land. They just have beneficial use and occupancy because they've given the land in title full and free back to the United States. So how's that for not trusting the United States? They're
paying a lot of money. So when they do that, they're still obligated to abide by federal law, correct?
To a certain extent. They're exempt from most federal law. They have their own tribal governing system, their own sovereignty, their own system, and there's not a whole lot of constitutional or congressional laws that they have to follow. They have their own governing system.
So does the same thing apply to, say you stay in a hotel that's not on the reservation, that's owned by the reservation, so the property is owned by the federal government, is exempt from these laws. You stay in that hotel and you have property stolen or you're assaulted or something.
That can depend because the land status may be owned and titled by the United States. But a lot of tribal governments will lease their land to a private non-tribal hotel corporation or business.
Mm.
And that private hotel corporation is subject to all the state and county regulations.
Oh, okay.
They're just giving a great break on the land lease, and that helps a hotel or a developer not have to purchase land. They can get in at a reduced lease from the tribe. But the business, the non-tribal business on the lease land, is subject to state and county regulations.
Hmm. And then, okay, so what's the definition? Because we hear it a lot, and I think it's somewhere in the description on our page today. What is fee trust land?
Fee to trust land is land generally within the reservation, but not always, as we mentioned earlier. Fee to trust land is land that has been in the state tax base. Many of the Indian reservations became part of the states when the states formed up. Not all Indian reservations were carved out from the organic document that created the state land base of a new state. Some were. So I probably confused you there. But an abundance of land on Indian reservations is state land that state taxpayers, even tribal members, are paying taxes on. So when the tribal government acquires one of those properties and they want jurisdiction over that property, they pursue a process to the Bureau of Indian Affairs and they say, we want you to consider giving title to the United States so that we have two things. We no longer pay taxes on that property and we have jurisdiction over that property.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called fee to trust because it goes from fee, which means taxable state land, to trust, which is title in the United States, in trust for the Indian tribe.
Hmm. Any idea how much money is or how much land is tied up in these trusts in the country?
I don't have that number, but it's a dramatically growing number. A dramatically
sure, well,
growing
I can understand
number.
Why. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
That
because,
just gives
because the gaming dollars.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Gaming dollars are used to buy land.
Which is tax-free.
And here's the other thing that is, I think, needs to be corrected by Congress one day soon. There is no American government that can write a check from the county treasury or the state treasury or a municipal town. They cannot cut a check to a Republican or Democratic party or a candidate. Tribal governments, all 566 of them, can.
And they got lots of money to do it.
Yeah, and they do. And so a lot of their gaming dollars is used to money up the political process of both parties or put the right candidate in that's going to be beholden to that tribal government. The money from gaming to buy land, to buy legislators, to buy litigators, lawyers, and lobbyists.
I was going to say, the lobbyists has got to be a huge group. I mean, with that kind of money behind them, they swing a big bat
And look, we're already having so many problems because we have so much federal land, which is, of course, I mean, unless you've had, you know, people have had their head squarely in the sand, they've been watching the thing up in Burns, Oregon, that although the issues got muddied,
That's a great example.
The second half of it, people just kind of, you know, people are sick of it. Out here, we have 80% of some of our states are federal land, which means no property tax, no private ownership. And now if the tribes are going to gobble up another percentage of it, at some point in time, I mean, that those tax dollars are what pay for all of our police and fire and all that stuff. So I guess we're just going to go back, to a lawless time.
Speaking of that,
in the West,
Elaine, is the local police and fire departments are they responsible or liable to respond to fires or police action on reservations?
You're just reading my mind. I have an example from the Yakima Reservation. I lived on that reservation for 16 years. Most tribal governments do not have a fire department. They do have their tribal police department.
Yeah, I've never seen
and
a fire department.
And the tribal police departments interact very well with municipal police departments or state or county law enforcement entities. The interaction of the law enforcement entities on reservations is pretty darn good. There's a camaraderie among law enforcement.
Well, they need them.
And they do, and they respect each other's jurisdictions, and that works relatively well. But very, very few tribal governments, I think you could count them on less than one hand, have their own tribal fire department. Mm. And so when a fire occurs on the reservation, your local municipal fire or county fire must respond and does respond and incurs all the costs that are not reimbursed by the tribal government.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if you have a big fire on a reservation or in a casino and local fire department responds and a couple guys get hurt and get, you know, on disability or something, we're footing the bill
for
that.
The joke on the Yakima Reservation is that whenever a building is just completely dilapidated out on the reservation, they just torch it.
It catches on fire.
The Yakima County Fire Department to put it out for them. And so the cost of services is not offset.
Right. I wouldn't have a problem with it if they had some kind of an agreement with local fire and police
I'm sure some do.
And maybe some do. I think Aaron's right. I think maybe some do, but the majority don't.
Now
I will say I want to give a plug for where I lived on the Oneida, the former Oneida Reservation in Hobart. There is a pretty good mutual relationship between the Hobart Fire Department and the Oneida Tribal Government. The Tribal Government does not contribute a fixed amount per year, but the Tribal Government will do things like purchase some equipment. Sometimes substantial equipment for the fire department. So there is at least a fairly workable relationship there, and I would imagine that may occur on some other reservations.
I think it does in our local community. Our local tribe is very active
in the community.
In the community. But they spend a lot of money.
Yeah. But then we go north and a little bit, and all their money goes to suing the cities and the water districts. And
yeah.
We need to take a really quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
We somehow have to fit in two breaks by the top of the hour. We're blowing it today. I'm going to blame it back on that video game, that stupid game.
No, don't.
You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Not my fault, not my fault.
Midnight, and I'm waiting on the 1205. Hoping it'll take me just a little farther down the line. The moonlight, you're just a heartache in disguise. Won't you keep my heart from breaking if it's only for a very short time?
You're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort at Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Love game, intuition, play the cards of space to start. And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on his heart.
Okay, who is that?
That's Lady Gaga.
God, I need to get out more. So it was current, that's why I didn't know. Welcome back to me.
That's Poker Face.
Oh, she just said it. Yeah. I just heard that.
Poker Face. Yeah, I like that.
God, you're awesome,
yeah,
Bill.
I know.
You know what?
I should squeeze
you into a dress. We could get you to
I should go on the road.
You should.
Yeah.
You're going to step right over the squeeze into a dress part?
No.
Now, here she's singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl today.
I wonder what color hair she'll have today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got like 5 minutes till we have to like cram in another break. Hey, Elaine, talk to us about, we've got a couple things posted on the site. And let's see, we have an open letter to the governor, that's January of this year, regarding the compact legislation. And I can never remember what KSKT, what are they? The confusing Indian tribe name.
Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribe.
Yeah, there you go. That's why I keep forgetting it.
Yeah. They're on the Flathead Indian Reservation.
Well, that's much easier.
Confederated Salish and Kootenai. Yeah. I love your music. I got to say, you guys have the most awesome taste in music. It's such a treat.
We're on the other side of the desk. We're not allowed to touch the part where the music comes out.
We pay Bob a lot of money to come up with that music.
Bob.
Well, he's the best.
It's like, hey, find us some fun random songs.
Thank you, Elaine.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it does kind of make it, well, you know, I don't know, most of the time we talk about things that make everybody mad, so if we don't goof off
or a little bit.
Or depressed. Yeah, depressed is always another good option.
We all have to keep a sense of humor. We're heading into some very dark times, and we have to keep a sense
of humor. Why do you think this year's going to be so bad for all this federal Indian policy?
Well, it's federal Indian policy, but it's also a part of a parallel path of many federal agencies. You've got the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Bureau of Reclamation,
EPA,
the USDA, National Park Services, and the big beast, EPA. They're all rolling out to take down the West. They really are. I watched the video yesterday. Oh, and the environmentalist groups, all the big NGOs.
Yeah, that's kind of a given.
Yesterday. Yeah, and so when it all folds in, and then you have this little unknown weapon called the Bureau of Indian Affairs, we're in trouble. We in the Western states, actually in the country, we are in serious trouble. Because all of these, what are called benign federal agencies, they're not the Department of the Defense of the Army or Navy, or they're not our military, are less than benign agencies. These are benign federal agencies that are all now fully militarized, rolling out past state agencies and right onto private properties in the face of landowners and citizens. You know, Burns is an example, the Bundy situation is an example, and there's many more. Andy Johnson down in Wyoming getting $75,000 a day daily fines for his little stock water pond was put in complete compliance with Wyoming state law. The agencies, the federal agencies, are rolling out to take down the West. That's why I'm going to be doing an article called The Unsettling of the West. And the video I watched yesterday just had me in near tears, because the end result is going to happen using a variety of tools in many areas of the Western states. And I'm speaking specifically of the San Joaquin Valley in Central California. I watched a video yesterday called Dead Harvest on Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, Dead Harvest on Vimeo, 38 minutes. It's just absolutely chilling that crop production is gone in Central Washington, in Central California.
Oh, sure. It looks like the Dust Bowl.
Yes. And the thousands of people and the food production and this damage that has been done, all in the name of the environmentalist need to restore California back to its natural habitat and depopulate and take out food production. These are the agendas of our federal government and major environmentalists, and now tribal governments and Bureau of Indian Affairs are jumping into the game. That's what's going on here in Montana.
Yeah,
the goal of the compact in Montana is to take out, this is the food production area of Western Montana. We have four big irrigation districts that my next door neighbor does, 2 million a year in potatoes. And we have cattle and food production in a big way out here. It is the economy of three counties. But now one little tribe has 100% control to access of all water.
And I don't think what...
Tribe,
I think what a lot of people don't realize is once you take these big farms out, you can change things back the way they were, but it's going to take a long time for them to gear back up and put that land back into production again. It doesn't happen overnight.
No. And a lot of dollars. A lot of dollars.
A lot of dollars.
Well, rebuild.
Let's face it, if you've dewatered and... if you've gone after these people, regardless of whether or not you went after the water, you said they had some kind of wetlands or some endangered species, when you drive these farmers out, you're not going to get other people who are going to stop working at a tech firm and go start farming.
No.
I mean, farming is a generational gig. People don't
Farming used to be the number one priority of all these major federal water management, river basin management plants. Farming and agriculture was the number one priority. But now your big Columbia River systems, Missouri River systems, all these big federal watershed management plans have put farming down at the bottom of the food chain, and they're transitioning them to have tribal sovereignty as the priority, and protection of tribal cultural resources and endangered species and all the fun things the environmentalists and the feds are after to depopulate the West and to take down the water and to take out the energy and to take out the crop production. They're rolling out faster than ever, and Obama's only got the rest of this year to do as much harm as he can, which is why I'm trying to be as noisy as I can.
Well, we love that. And, you know, I'm going to post that video on the site I found it, the Dead Harvest.
The Dead Harvest? Yep. Dead Harvest?
Found it. I'm going to pop it on there. But we've got to take a really swift break here so we can thank our advertisers. So while we're busy bashing the government, we've got to make sure and prop up private industry. They need all the help they can get. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You can gamble for matchsticks. You can gamble for gold. The stakes may be heavy or small. But if you haven't gambled for love and lost, and you haven't gambled at all, so they call me the Moonlight Gambler. Well, I've gambled for love and loss. When I gamble for love, but it isn't in the cards. Oh, what heartaches it can cause me, win or lose.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Do you want to have more fun in 2016?
The Reading Civic Auditorium has you covered.
Tim Flannery and the Lunatic Fringe are back February 13th.
C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters is now a critically acclaimed theatrical masterpiece. The Associated Press calls devilishly funny. Don't miss it, March 4th.
March 6th, Shinedown rocks the house for one epic night.
March 20th, join Celtic sensation Lorena McKennitt for an intimate evening of music.
And who can resist the hardest working man in show business? That's right, Jay Leno is in the house March 26th.
Now don't get scammed on your tickets to these great shows. Go to www.readingcivic.com or contact our box office at 530-229-0022. For more show announcements and pre-sale access, sign up for our emails at the Reading Civic Auditorium's website, www.readingcivic.com, or contact the box office at 530-229-0022.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Redding's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call into KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The winner takes it all. The winner takes it all.
And the winner is not the taxpayer, just in case anybody was confused about who the winner was going to be. Okay, Elaine, we've got like 1 minute. So set up this next hour. I know we were going to talk about EPA. How do they factor in real quick?
Well, they're huge.
And then we'll beat the snot out of them next hour.
EPA, and I'd like to touch on the Indian Child Welfare Act, too, if I might.
Oh, okay, let's beat them up, too.
Okay.
Okay, so EPA is figuring in how?
EPA has numerous regulations, all of which are way outside of any constitutional intent for EPA or congressional intent for EPA. But the most serious one is called Treatment as States for Indian Tribes. And Treatment as States allows EPA to hand its federal authority over non-Indians to tribal governments, and it creates jurisdiction over air quality, water quality, pesticides, and it is a tool that tribal governments are using to really, replace state jurisdictions.
Oh, nice.
And replace state protections. It is entirely unconstitutional, and they are ramping it up right now. There's a rule out right now, a proposed rule out right now that is just outrageous.
Outstanding. Okay, so we'll talk about all that unpleasantness in the next hour. We've got to have a little unpleasantness from the news now, so we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Resolutions. She says North Korea's missile and nuclear weapons programs represent serious threats to our interests, including the security of some of our closest allies, and undermine peace and security in the broader region. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
Today, the UN Security Council issued a statement strongly condemning North Korea's launch and pledging to expeditiously adopt a new resolution with, quote, significant new sanctions. Three people have died in a fiery crash in San Francisco. The California Highway Patrol says it happened after an officer tried to pull over the driver of a white Chevrolet sedan seen rotating in circles in the middle of a neighborhood street. The car sped away, crashed into a taxi, and burst into flames. The surviving member of a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde pair is behind bars in Florida.
Brittany Harper faces felony charges of robbery, kidnapping, vehicle theft, and home invasion in Missouri, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. Her boyfriend, Blake Fitzgerald, died during a shootout in the Florida Panhandle early Friday. During the standoff, authorities say Fitzgerald betrayed his 30-year-old girlfriend and unsuccessfully used her as a human shield. She was wounded in the leg and hospitalized under armed guard. Harper's being held on $1.16 million bond in Escambia County. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The earthquake that toppled a residential building in Taiwan is now blamed for 32 deaths. About 100 people have been rescued. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
The Surge pilot who landed a jetliner in Somalia with a large hole in its fuselage says he has never doubted that it was caused by a bomb and described the security at Mogadishu Airport as, quote, zero. After initially saying there was no sign of foul play, Somali officials yesterday admitted that a suicide bomber is likely to have set off the explosive inside the plane. They say the blast sucked a male passenger out of the plane and forced the aircraft to make an emergency landing Tuesday in Somalia's capital. Sri Lanka's ethnic Tamil leaders today asked the top UN human rights official to help determine the fate of more than 4,000 civilians reported missing in the country's long civil war amid the government's assertion that most of them are probably dead. Both the Sri Lankan government and the defeated Tamil Tiger rebels are accused of serious human rights violations. The UN estimates up to 100,000 people were killed in the 26-year war. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. It seems like a tragedy just waiting to happen. Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines explains.
Gun-shaped phone cases. You heard that right. Smartphone cases shaped just like a handgun and being sold online. New York Congressman Ellie Dangle calls them a ticking time bomb. Legislation to ban them has gained little traction, so Engel's now calling on Amazon to voluntarily discontinue sales. Engel says it's not a question of if, but when a cop mistakes one of them for the real thing. Wally Hines, Capitol Hill.
Today is Sunday, February the 7th, and it's a birthday for some notable people, including author Gay Talese, who is 84 years old. Former Senator Herb Kohl, the Democrat of Wisconsin, 81 years old today. Actor Miguel Ferrer turns 61. Actor James Spader, 56. And country music star Garth Brooks has 54 candles on his cake today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You're joining We the People Radio in our second hour here with Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
God, we got that down. Still surprises me. You know what? We hope that you will join us online, actually, wethepeopleradio.us. And at some point in the future, I'd go back and look through our archives if I were you. Lots of good stuff in there, and it's all commercial-free once it goes to the website and the archive.
What? Go back and listen to some of those shows from 2010.
I know. We were just talking about it back in 2010. Hoo boy. We actually had one show where we couldn't take any... We could not take any commercials. Well, we had two, actually. The guests will remain nameless. You'll have to go search the archives for those. But we had one lady who, like, literally wouldn't stop talking. We could not take a break. And then we had a scientist who's super brilliant, got a ton of great information. We were talking about fish.
He just gave it all to us in 2 hours.
And it was like, oh, my God, he won't breathe. How do you interrupt someone on the phone who won't breathe? It was pretty funny, actually. Probably not funny for the advertisers.
He could actually speak breathing in and breathing out.
He had gills.
He was very,
he'd been working on
talented.
Fish so long, he had his own gills.
Yeah.
Well, it was bad, though, because we got a talking to after that. You have to take the breaks. We're like, oh sorry. you learn how to interrupt, and you try to do it without sounding like a, you know, spaz. So anyway, we've got a ton of good information on there for you, and I have loaded all of Elaine's information, because our guest is Elaine Willman, in case you missed the first part of this little soiree here. She does a ton of work on federal Indian policy. So we've looked at some of the ways that the land is taken off the tax rolls, and a lot of the money is circumventing the tax system. Now we're going to the EPA. You know, just when you think the EPA, you already know all the bad stuff they're doing. No, there's more. So, Elaine, take us down the EPA trail.
Well, we can follow it down the Animas River, or we can follow it through Flint, Michigan. The EPA...
It's true, we do have some choices now, don't we?
Yeah, totally rogue. I read an article the other day that Perry Pendley, a very well-known attorney with Mountain State Legal Foundation, wrote about the EPA not too long ago. And in his article, he is saying that in the past 6 years, the EPA has, the United States Supreme Court has slapped down EPA over 20 times.
Wow.
At 20 U.S. Supreme Court rulings admonishing EPA that it does not have the authority to create jurisdiction, which is what they do with treatment of states, and it does not have most of the authority that it is rolling out on private landowners these days. EPA just simply ignores the U.S. Supreme Court. They ignore Congress, as does the White House now and all the federal agencies. So EPA is a kingdom of its own, and it's brutal. It is absolutely brutal with landowners and property owners.
Well, I truly believe in this next administration, if we get a president that... that gets rid of the EPA, he can run for as many terms as he wants.
Yes. And I think that's probably a really good idea, because the five congressional acts for the environment are good ones, and all the states comply with them. They have to, and EPA administers that through the states. But now they have this big duplicative system apparently there is Indian air, which is to be distinguished from Hispanic air or Black American air or white air. And now they have these redundant programs that states are already complying with, even on Indian reservations, because there's a lot of state lands and state authority on Indian reservations. And they've put in this whole separate program for tribal governments to give them control over the air quality over their reservation, like the air is going to stay right within those boundaries. I mean, it's just insane.
They've been taking their lead from California, destroying the economy in California so that the air above California will be better.
Yeah, but when I say that the federal agencies have been going after and taking down the western states, I really mean it, because in this rule that just came out, it came out January 19th, and it's a proposed rule, and the comment period expires March 21st. And it's like a 15-page Federal Register, three-column fine print. And in that, they are saying repeatedly that they are reinterpreting congressional intent specific to Indian reservations. Now, congressional intent opened up all these reservations and said, come on out here, homesteaders. Come on out and settle the reservations and help the Indian people. They did that with the Dawes Act in 1887 and the Burke Act of 1906. And the reservations were opened up, and they were almost completely assimilated and gone by 1924. And then this whole thing came back. So EPA is now reinterpreting a congressional intent from way back, and saying that Congress always intended tribal governments to govern non-Indians and non-Indian properties. Always intended that. It never did. It never did. But this is EPA saying, well, we're changing. We're reversing history. They are absolutely reversing most of the major congressional statutes that made it possible to settle the West. That's EPA's game. And they're using Indian reservations wherever they can, but they're also going in and pillaging and plundering landowners of every stripe in all the states. They are completely out of control. Completely out of control. And we're at the mercy of them. Mainly because our state agencies, all of which have their own state environmental departments and agencies, and they're all in compliance with the Congressional Environmental Acts, EPA is bypassing states. Like, states don't exist anymore, or they certainly don't matter anymore, and just rolling out.
Well, they basically want the money. You know, as long as they get their money, then, you know, the rest is sort of secondary.
Yeah. Yeah. So this treatment of states is very serious, because now they are wiping away the criteria a tribal government would ordinarily have to comply with, like, do you have a skilled workforce that can manage air quality or water quality or whatever? Do you have inherent sovereignty? Do you have jurisdiction over these lands? Well, if you don't, we'll give it to you. They're collapsing a stringent criteria for tribal governments to apply for this jurisdiction and saying, just come on, get it. We'll help you get it. Oh, you don't have skilled workforce, we'll train you up. We'll pay for it. We'll do it. Just come and get it. And it's beastly. It is really beastly. I'll use Washington State as an example. 31 tribes in Washington State, and it's not a big state. It's only got 5 big urban areas in the whole state.
True.
But 31 tribes getting treatment as states for water quality, air quality, pesticides that will take down the farmers is the end of Washington State.
How many of those tribes have casinos or massive incomes to lobby?
Well, wonderful former Governor Christine Gregoire allowed those 31 tribes to each have 5 casinos. That's a lot of tribal casinos in Washington State. They can each have 5. You know, and the state in those casino compacts between the state and tribal governments, the tribes always kick in money to the state. And that money to the state from gaming is supposed to go back to the communities hosting the casinos for the impact of the casinos. But it doesn't. That money goes right back to the tribes for tribal programs from the state. You know, they've circumvented all of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act requirements. The money was intended. Gaming was intended for economic development on a reservation, including compensation for communities affected by the tax loss of casinos. It was economic development is now considered okay for political contributions to campaigns and buying land. It's everything but economic development. And they were to send them, and they do send their big dollars to the states, but the state sends those big dollars right back to them. Because the elected officials of those states benefit from their election campaigns and contributions.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better.
Doesn't it? Yeah, it's what I call coin-operated elected officials. We have way too many of them, way too many of them, that are coin-operated. Because think about it. I believe the American Indian population is maybe 4% of America's population. And of that 4%, 1% might be enrolled tribal members. 3 out of 4 American Indians do not live on reservations and are not enrolled. But there's this little 1% of enrolled members on reservations of these 566 tribes. And the political and monetary influence of these tribes in our legal system and our election system is profound. Just profound.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is. But nobody knows about it. You know what I mean? You know, these are not conversations or regulations that are widely discussed. Conversations between bureaucrats and a few tribal leaders who, for the most part, could care less about their members.
Sure. And when you bring it up, you're a big hater, of course.
Yeah. See, I make very clear separations between government decisions and my respect for American Indian culture and history. I am an American Indian, and my husband is, and I have a complete affection and lifetime respect for American Indian culture. I truly do. And it's just getting destroyed. One of the things that's happening is that the federal government gave them gaming, gave them a huge break on cigarettes, tax exemptions and whatnot, has now given them the tribal government's authority to decide if they'd like to grow and distribute marijuana, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And now, most recently, they're saying, hey, would you like to lease your land to Middle Eastern cultures, too? This is, you know, these are
You know what? I forgot about that. We were gonna hit that again. Elaine, let's take a really quick break and then come back, because the Middle Eastern country connection is a big one, and it should be a huge concern for everybody at this point.
Yes, it should.
You add that kind of money, that kind of unilateral power, I guess, and then throw in people who don't like our country from out of town. Bad combo.
Yeah. All right. Our domestic tribes will not be able to stand up to that. But go ahead.
Yeah, probably not. All right, we'll see what Bob's got for us here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with you at We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You're tuned to AM 1460 KCNR, and you're listening to We the People.
Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club.
And I'm Allie Evers, proud owner of Boheme Spa.
At Wellgate, we're dedicated to building a club focused on improving the quality of your life, which is why we are so excited to introduce our new partner, Boheme Spa.
Thank you, Rich. Both Boheme Spa and Wellgate Sports Club share the same business philosophy and commitment to mind, body, and health. Conveniently located inside the Wellgate Sports Club, Boheme Spa is Redding's premier Aveda concept spa, featuring the complete line of Aveda products and Aveda signature services.
Wellgate Sports Club, in partnership with Boheme Spa, is proud to announce a groundbreaking new membership category called Rejuvenate. In addition to a standard premium access membership, Rejuvenate members receive 2 spa treatments per month from Boheme Spa for the term of the membership.
Reward yourself for your hard work and effort at the club with relaxing and restorative treatments.
Call 768-1205 today. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Redding's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call into KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that they'll be giving away when we all live together. I'm talking about together now. Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that they'll be giving away.
Welcome back. You're rejoining We the People Radio. At least some of you are. I've lost my mind and can't remember what it was we were going to do after the break.
We were talking about the Middle Eastern influence.
Oh yeah, I knew I was excited about it. I just somehow a 2 minute break, you know, flushed it right out of my mind. Elaine, give folks a little rundown on what's going on with our little friends from what? Morocco, Yemen,
Turkey and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Turkey's
very
a big
active
one
right now. Yeah, and this has been going on for several years, and we just discovered that through the legal research we're doing to defend the property owners here on this reservation, at least since 2009. And then very specifically in 2012 with the Hearth Act, H-E-A-R-T-H, Congress, in a big Indian funding bill, appropriations bill, inserted a little clause. I don't know if all the congressmen were aware of it, but I assume they must have, that is allowing Indian tribes on their private Indian trust land. This is the land that's held in title by the United States for their beneficial use and occupancy. The tribal governments may now lease those lands for up to 75 years without BIA authority or approval to Middle Eastern countries to bring in Middle Eastern money for economic development on Indian reservations. Now, where this is a perfect storm is in concert with the Hearth Act and bringing in Middle Eastern country opportunities on Indian reservations is the Indian Energy Program throwing billions out and encouraging tribal governments to take over public utilities of energy corporations and dams, all of which are located on or near Indian reservations. And then you add that to the treatment of states, and you add that to the money for water, where tribes are acquiring water on and off their reservations, state waters on and off their reservations. And you have the perfect storm of a small tribal government that controls all access to water here on the Flathead, all access to water, all access to energy. They just acquired a big hydropower dam, and now we're going to bring Middle Eastern folks in here, which has already been occurring. There have been leadership exchanges between the Salish Kootenai tribe in Turkey and Saudi Arabia. They have contracts with Saudi Arabia. It's all underway on this reservation, and I would presume many others, because these are federal Indian policy decisions made by Congress and then stretched out by the implementing agencies. So we are in trouble. You have 190 sanctuary cities bringing in the refugees and setting up little Sharia enclaves in 190 communities. And now you have 326 Indian reservations that are welcoming in Middle Eastern folks.
Aren't they concerned?
Tribal members are really, really worried.
I was going to say, yeah.
I can't speak of it.
I would think that they would be really concerned.
Yeah. Yes, in all your cities and towns and counties, those 1,061 local governments on Indian reservations are at high risk here.
Right, right.
They just are. And no matter what you say, you know, it's not Islamophobic when the reality is what the reality is.
Well, every place they've tried that, every country that they've allowed that to happen has been a disaster. I mean, the Sharia law has come in, and they just totally lose control of their own culture.
And that will happen. And that's what I mean about the federal government. I honest to God, think it's a slow genocide for tribal, for Indians. I mean, they've given them, all the perks of gambling, an addictive thing that's destroying families. They've given them the tax-exempt perks on the cigarette industry. Now they can grow and sell marijuana. And now we're going to bring in the Middle Eastern countries. And I honestly believe your strongest, most powerful tribal leaders will not have a chance with the Sharia leaders that they start doing business with.
Hmm.
And what
Amazing.
Does that do to a culture? What does that do to them? It's just unmerciful. Oh, and then let me add the Indian Child Welfare Act. I would like speak about that. The Indian Child Welfare Act, I think it was in the 70s. I want to say 78, but I could be wrong. Congress, and this was with lobbyists, and tribal governments pleaded with Congress to give them the Indian Child Welfare Act because they thought that too many Indian children were being adopted by non-Indian families. And they needed to preserve their blood culture, their blood quantum. There's a required blood quantum for enrollment as a tribal member. So Congress gives them the Indian Child Welfare Act. That welfare act transferred parental authority to a tribal government. So a tribal government now has parental authority, not the tribal member families. The tribal government has full parental authority over every enrollable child under 18. How that is used is that if the population is diminishing on the reservation, they can go out and obtain enrollable members and bring them back to the reservation. And that has created some real harm and hardships for families across the country.
Explain that, Elaine. How does that, what do you mean by going out and bringing them back?
Well, let's say a reservation in one of the western states is losing its tribal membership. They're moving on, disenrolling, and that membership number is important because it goes to their federal monies they get. It's based on population, tribal membership enrollment. So if you're a small tribe with just a few members, you're not going to get all those millions. But if you're a large tribe, you're going to get more millions. So they have the Indian Child Welfare Act to keep that membership growing on the reservation. The tribal government has that parental authority. But the other thing that is happening that nobody speaks of, and I've had very personal experiences with this, is that that Indian Child Welfare Act is used as a tool to keep the tribal families in line. For example, if a tribal member shows up at a tribal council meeting and says, I don't like what you're doing, I disagree with what you're doing, they can get a knock on their door from the Tribal Child Protective Services and be informed, you're a bad parent. We're taking your child. That has happened on all three of the reservations I've lived on. That is not necessarily the exception to the rule. I've personally been involved with two really heartbreaking situations on the Yakima Reservation, and it's just an immense problem on some of the other reservations. But the tribal government has parental authority. Now, let's imagine that Ireland has an Irish Child Welfare Act. Let's say that Ireland says, hey, we want to preserve our Irish culture, so we want authority over all enrollable children who have an Irish ancestry, and we can bring them back to Ireland if we want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To remove parental authority based on ancestry, and these are all full American citizens, is just unconscionable.
Well, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that if you were a regular citizen. You couldn't do that with a child.
No. Now, if you're a very dysfunctional or abusive family to the children, states have programs where, for the right reasons, a really abusive home life or something, states can go in and do that. And tribal governments could have something similar for their members. But in terms of giving the tribal government the full parental authority, that's just unthinkable. And Congress has done that, did it in the late 70s. And it's an abusive tool to keep tribal members in line now on reservations. And the problem is that the folks that do live on reservations, for the most part, it's a generational thing. That's all they've known. Their families and ancestors have lived on the reservation. They don't know any other way of life. And they don't know that a lot of this stuff is not tolerated by other citizens or off the reservation.
Yeah.
It's really quite bad.
Well, and we're seeing that more, a little bit of everywhere, too, with some of these rules with Common Core. You know, there are lots of little caveats built in there. If you want to take your child out of school, you want to homeschool, they're starting to line up against those non-conforming bad parents that are probably teaching their kids.
You know, that's an excellent analogy, Aaron.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
If the kid doesn't do well in on a test, well, they're asking them questions like, you know, do your parents fight? Do you guys own guns? Do you guys have to go to church? You know, stuff like that. What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know everyone has a big brother, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, isn't it?
So we need to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come right back. Can't believe it. Look at that. It's a half hour. We're right on time.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going for a world record here. We're going to actually take our breaks on time this hour. It's a small goal, but, you know, we feel it's achievable. You know, there's a Super Bowl today and everything, so, you know, we got to aim low since we don't actually know who's playing. We should look that up on the break.
All right, it's Denver in Carolina.
Is it really? Okay. Thanks. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Don't look for information on the game. It's not there.
An outlaw, half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa. Oh, she's a one of a kind. All my friends call me Bear Claw. Village chieftain is my pawpaw. He gets his orders from my mama. She makes him walk the line. You can find me in my wigwam. I'll be feeding on my tom-tom. Pull out the pipe and smoke you some. And pass it around. 'Cause I'm an Indian outlaw. Half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa. She's a one of a kind.
You're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
This is Carl Lindabad. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome the Record Searchlight managing editor Carol Ferguson and her guest as we talk about what's happening with the Record Searchlight, what's the future for print media, and what are their big stories they're working on. This and much more Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227.
Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
That's an appropriate song, since we have going to be dialing in with Larry Kogan, who's on his way.
That's perfect.
To your house, I think. What a hoot.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, so
Larry
just landed at the
Missoula airport, and my daughter picked him up. He's going to be a guest with us and touring the Western states and speaking, and we're so grateful for him. I need to just say that the reason we have a wonderful New York attorney like Larry helping the Montana people here is because there's not a single Montana attorney that will step up to the plate to help the property owners here. Not one.
No kidding.
With your governor. Your governor is an attorney. The attorney general is an attorney. Of course, and that whole staff. And you have many attorneys in the state legislature, and every one of them have walked away from the protections, the state protections and rights of the citizens and landowners on this reservation, totally walked away from their own state constitution and the federal constitution. And so, and the fellow that chaired this whole process for the state happened to be the president of the Montana Bar Association. And everybody just follows in footsteps with what the current executive branch of the Montana Bar Association. So, and that's the case in Washington State. And yeah, we always, when we have an issue with the tribal government, we always have to go out of state to find an attorney because of either the politics or the tribes deposit one case after another in all the major law firms. And so the law firms say, oh, we have a conflict of interest. So we're so fortunate to have the expertise and passion of Mr. Kogan with us. So, let's get him on.
All right, he's in there. We have him. We have him trapped on hold. Larry.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
We're super. Can you hear Elaine? When she talks. Say something, Elaine.
Hello.
There we go. This is seriously a telephone game. So we've got Larry driving from the Missoula airport. Elaine at her house in Montana. Bill and Bob and I are in California, so we've now united a section of the West. You guys want
to? Let me take an opportunity, if I might, to announce to your Montana that Larry, can you hear me? That Larry,
I can barely hear you guys.
Oh, whoops! Oh, we can hear you really well.
Yeah, we can. Larry will be at the Red Lion Hotel in Kalispell tomorrow night at 6:30 for a speaking engagement. And then we'll have him in Polson at the Red Lion in Polson Tuesday night, the 9th, at 6. And Wednesday night in St. Ignatius at the Altitude Bar at 6:30. And then Saturday in Missoula for an early luncheon at 11 at the Jakers Restaurant. We have Larry booked morning, afternoon, and evening. We're going to run him ragged up and down the 11 counties here for the coming weekend. We're really grateful that he's on with us again.
Yep. Yeah, we got you, Larry. We can hear you loud and clear. Just turn your radio off if it's on there. I think you'll be okay. Well, it sounds like Larry's going to be a busy man.
very busy, very busy. He's out here to do a lot more fact-finding and listen to what's going on the ground out here, because the impact of this comet, which isn't even ratified by Congress, is already rolling out.
Well, what are you guys going to be handling? What's the topic, I guess, of his visit this time?
Larry, do you want to answer that?
I don't think he can. I don't think he can hear us, actually. There's something funky going on. Oh.
I think he just hung up.
Larry is going to be refiling a federal lawsuit, a major federal lawsuit, on the unconstitutionality, on just a range of violations of issues that have resulted in this the compact that was illegally passed by this Montana State Legislature April 11th of 2015. When I say illegally passed, it required a two-thirds vote of the legislature, and then their little 11th hour, when they didn't have the two-thirds, they changed the rules and brought it in by one or two votes, and that vote is being challenged in the Montana court. But nonetheless, the compact is on its way to Congress for ratification, and there's a real push by the state and the tribes and the feds to get it ratified by Congress. But the results of the compact are already affecting it. So Larry's coming out to talk about the compact and to talk about the federal lawsuit in broad terms that we'll be filing, and to gather more information from these landowners, cattlemen, and farmers and irrigators out here. So it's fact-finding for Larry, and it's also a chance for Larry to further inform the general public about what their rights are and what we can do.
And are people paying attention out there? I know it sounds like your legal community is abdicated, but what about the folks that live there?
The folks that live here, the ones on the reservation, predominantly vehemently oppose the compact, because it includes, in the long term, completely removing the irrigation system from the reservation. That wipes out your agriculture, and it also wipes out the economy of three counties. That's the long term. The tribe, which has thrived, the tribal government has thrived on the agricultural economy here from irrigation, but more recently its belief is that the infrastructure, the ditches, canals, and the things that provide the water movement for growing food, is scarring their natural habitat their natural resources, and they want it all taken out.
So Elaine, it affects three counties. How many people are we talking about here that are going to be basically displaced by this compact?
About 35,000 are within the boundaries of the Flathead Reservation, but the compact gives the tribe control of water north of their reservation, all in-stream flows, and south of it. The compact is now incorporating aboriginal rights, which is a hoax, but aboriginal rights to all the waters in 11 counties. That's 350,000 people.
Wow.
And about one-fifth of the, closer to one-third of the state's land base.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the danger of this compact is that if this compact gets ratified by Congress, six other tribes across Montana will ring up the governor and say, you have to treat us the same. We want
same.
And all of Montana's waters will belong to the six, the seven tribes here.
Sure, once you set that precedent, you just open the floodgates.
Yeah, so it's really ugly here. It's really quite ugly here. And it's already rolling out. Last year, the tribe ran the snow runoff right out to the ocean, and did not fill the reservation, you know, the irrigation reservoirs, did not fill them. And last year was really tough. They need to start filling the reservoirs right now, but they don't plan to catch that runoff until April 15th, when most of it is gone, and they probably will not fill the reservoirs again this year. There's no good heart among the tribal leadership for irrigators or food or land here, other than they want it all back.
Yeah, see, we're having the same thing in Northern California and Southern Oregon.
That's right. It's a different set of players, but it's the same end result, taking out crop production and grabbing land.
Yeah, and I know, for all those people who think, well, you know, sucks to be you guys, you're going to ultimately pay the price, because this is going to affect our It's actually a national security issue because a country that can't feed its own people is at the mercy of anybody who's willing to send us food. And if people you can always hear the left out there going, "Oh, that's silly. You know, we can all be vegetarians."
Well, it's not silly though. I mean, if you look at the big picture, and the influence that Russia and China are having on a lot of economies, you know, particularly in South America, where a lot of our food is now coming from, they could probably take us over without firing a shot if we can't feed ourselves, and then they control the inflow of food from South America. We would be in a world of hurt.
Check.
Yeah, and this ties in. This fits in neatly, this system of taking down crop production in the western states and depopulating the western states. It's very neatly in with the international goals of Agenda 21 and United Nations.
Oh, yeah.
The mapping of those international processes show no states within the North American continent. that there are no state boundaries listed on the North American continent on your Agenda 21 goals. And they too are using the tribal governments and using the federal agencies in concert to take down, to increasingly remove state authority. The only state in the Western state, well, I won't say the only, but the one state in the Northwest that is still acting like a state and protecting itself and its people is Idaho. Idaho is doing a darn good job, and they're up against a lot of odds like the rest of us. Montana's just caved. They've just walked away from their people and their water and their authority. And Washington has, and Oregon has, but Idaho and Utah are fighting hard to keep their state authorities and protect their constitutional the protections of people that live in those states. I don't know what it's going to take to turn Montana around. It used to be very strong. It was a very big case, Montana versus United States in 1981. Big landmark Supreme Court case ruled that tribal governments have no authority over non-tribal persons or properties unless that person consents, or unless the program is going to damage the integrity of the tribal government. The Montana fought for 10 years to protect its people in the 70s, and they have reversed that. They have walked away from their own landmark ruling with this CSKT compact, and now EPA in its treatment of states is trying to reverse that Montana case for all reservations in the country. Which will start giving tribal governments increasing authority over non-tribal persons and properties everywhere, on and off reservations. It is the spread of tribalism. But now it's not just domestic tribalism. We're bringing in the Middle Eastern tribalism, too.
Yeah, and once those guys get their hooks into the, well, you know, we've had Larry on before. We've talked about, you know, uranium and all mm-hmm. sorts of things that are available for them to get now they can't ship it out, but they can certainly utilize it here, correct?
Say again, I'm sorry, Aaron.
The uranium and different things like that. I think there's they're not allowed to ship it back home, but they could use it here.
I'm not sure about that part, but I do know that the country of Turkey has specifically targeted 17 Indian reservations, one of them being this one on the Flathead. 17 Indian reservations that happen to coincidentally be co-located on and near uranium sources in this country. And if you look back at the Hammond situation,
mm-hmm.
that's the Burns Paiute Reservation, and the uranium on the Hammond property has already been committed, from what I'm reading and hearing, by the Clinton Foundation for Russia. Uranium is a hot topic, and its locations near Indian Reservation is a prized goal of Turkey and probably some other Middle Eastern countries.
And so the legislators in Montana, how do they basically not see this?
They don't care. They don't know. They don't care. Heads in the sand. Walked away from their state obligations under their oath.
So
they totally walked
is...
away. With some rare exceptions. We have maybe a dozen state legislators that are fighting the good fight, but they're badly outnumbered.
Wow.
This state has what they call an open primary, and it's a predominantly Republican state. However, and it's a Republican Assembly and a Republican Senate. But they have open primaries where Democrats decide to become Republicans and run for office. And then they become Democrats when they're elected. And so, although on paper we have a Republican Senate and Republican Assembly, it's really predominantly run by the Democrats, the progressives. And I think the same thing can be said for the governor and attorney general here. They've walked away from their state duties, absolutely walked away, and thrown in $55 million state taxpayer dollars to help the tribe do this to Montana people.
Gosh, you know, your governor must be hanging out with the California governor and the Oregon governors.
And the Washington governor. Don't forget old Jay Inslee.
Well, because
a moron.
California.
A moron.
What are you
I know, Jay. I know, Jay.
Well, California and Oregon just decided last week they signed an agreement in principle that that they want to take out 4 hydro dams on the on the Klamath River. Not that you know,
Larry is working with those people. Mr. Kogan is is tracking that. It's a different strategy, but it's the same net effect that's happening here in Montana that they're trying to force down Idaho, that they've already got rolling in Washington. And it's the same strategy, but the end result is the loss of state authorities and protections for people, and the end of crop production, and the expansion of tribal jurisdictions over state lands and people.
It just keeps going. And Larry, are you actually in there, and can you hear us?
I am still here and available.
And can you actually hear us this time?
Yes, I can. We are actually stopped so that we can hear it crystal clear. I can hear a pin drop.
You sound like you're here.
Sound like you're in the studio.
Okay, so tell us what do you see as the connection between what's happening in Montana and what's happening in the far western states there in California and Oregon? Similarity coincidence?
The federal government does not tell the truth. Okay, it speaks with forked tongue, and it has a lot of help by the from the Indian tribal councils in each of the states that seek lands, seek waters, and seek legal jurisdiction over non-tribal members. That's something that's quite in common. Another thing that's quite in common is that the Bureau of Reclamation can't seem to add numbers in the right columns when it comes to irrigation project operation and maintenance costs, just like the BIA can't do the same thing here on the Flathead Indian Reservation. They all get confused when the numbers start adding up, and they don't even have validation of the numbers that they estimate. So what ends up happening is you have all these old repayment contracts that said that the irrigators would have the option of acquiring the projects after they paid the capital expenditures off. And then after that opportunity arises, the feds figure out another way of saying, well, you know, you have deferred operation and maintenance costs that you have to pay to keep the system up to date. And, well, we're going to tie it together with your capital costs, and therefore you can't buy it because you still owe us. And unfortunately, the government, either whether it be the BIA in the case of Montana's Flathead or the BOR in the case of Klamath, they don't fix anything. They just let it crumble, and then they want to impose that cost on the irrigators.
Sure, because then we have to have
subjugated.
We have to have a restoration project. Oh my gosh!
One of the interesting things in Klamath is that sea flume. The sea flume, the state of Oregon should be worried that sea flume, which overhangs one of the state highways, a major state highway, can crumble as a result of Warren Buffett's railroad that passes very close to it, that likely shakes it very vigorously, and is contributing to the infrastructure crumbling. But the BOR wants to impose the cost of that sea flume repair on the irrigators.
Of course they do.
And what's interesting is that the Bureau of Reclamation now has contacted the irrigators because they're now interested in talking. Because they don't want to be held responsible for this, even though it's their fault, because they let the Warren Buffett Railroad chug by, and they don't impose any conditions on it. He's got tremendous lobbying power, as you know. That's why the dams are coming down.
Of course. Yeah, he's
now the BIA on the Flathead, they've got numbers that they pulled out of smoke and mirrors that said in 2006 you had $45 million of deferred operation and maintenance costs on the reservation. And in 2015 they estimated it rose to $82 million, but they can't validate it because they don't have the bookkeeping practices or procedures to confirm.
Oh. Oh my God! Maybe they ought to check Hillary's server.
And these are general accountability accounting office.
Yeah.
Reports, and they're the ones who are watching. They're watching the foxes in the hen house.
God, it's unbelievable. Let's take one more quick break, and we're going to come back with Larry Kogan and Elaine Wilman and finish up the top of the hour. And then, if you must, you can go watch the Super Bowl with Panthers and Broncos, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wild horses and Panthers. I think they're both endangered species. I think I'm going to hate both of them. You're listening to We the People.
End of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Redding's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call in to KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway.
This is Carl Lindabot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome the Record Searchlight managing editor Carol Ferguson and her guest as we talk about what's happening with the Record Searchlight, what's the future for print media, and what are their big stories they're working on. This and much more Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
But maybe someday when they've learned, Cherokee Nation will return.
Will return, will return, will return, will return.
Just like us. We've returned, but only for like 2 minutes. Okay, Elaine and Larry, I know you're in different places, so you'll have to read each other's minds in the last couple minutes.
I'm going to send you a flyer on Larry's speaking engagements that maybe you could post on your website, and then I'll let Larry close off this conversation because I'm really glad he could join us.
Nice.
And thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Elaine. Aaron, I wanted to note some other commonalities between the two regions. Another commonality is the science that grounds the requirements to maintain lake levels at certain levels and reservoir levels at certain levels. The science in Montana, just like the science in Klamath, hasn't been properly peer-reviewed according to federal law. There's something called an Information Quality Act, and the agencies seem to have neglected to follow it. In addition, you also have, as part of that lake level requirement, endangered species waters, which isn't backed up by the science in either region. And third, in each state, you have federal operatives or ex-federal operatives that are still tied to people that want to promote this federal control based on use rights to the water. And you have a tab on your website for the Montana operative, or at least one of the Montana operatives, don't you?
I hear it's been getting a lot of play.
And who is that person?
That'd be Dr. Kate Vandermoor. So we have a little little tab up at the top of the We the People page called Dr.
Right,
Kate.
And I understand that somebody by the name of Ken or Kevin Smith out in the Plymouth, who used to work for Bureau of Reclamation.
Oh.
And for the Bruce Babbage administration.
Oh, God.
His Department of Insurance.
Awesome.
So you have your own operatives out there that we're going to have to smoke out or have other people smoke out like they smoked out Dr. Kate.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the name of the game, because these guys sashay in. Well, I just found out this morning that a knucklehead from over on the coast who was chatting up one of our former Forest Service employees, who actually is a really good guy and helps irrigators and taxpayers and all that quite a bit. The guy over on the coast was chatting him up about some new policy things, and what did he know about what was going on? At the end of the day, it turns out, he's the new appointee to the Fish and Game Commission here in California.
Well,
another environmentalist,
right?
On the Fish and Game Commission.
He's objective and unbiased, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we're out of time. But I really want to thank you folks for coming
on.
Thanks,
you guys. And have fun on your round robin.
Thank you.
Shoot me the information. We'll post it on the site, so if any of your friends from Montana are listening today or tomorrow, they can connect up with you guys on those meetings.
Absolutely.
To our folks
and Aaron, I'm sure that we'll see each other sooner than you think.
I'm positive of that. And to our folks on the East Coast, when you hear this on Monday, I hope you had fun at the big game.
I want to thank everybody in the chat room. You guys did, again, a fantastic job.
We'll see you guys next week.
Keeping us on our toes.
Yep. We're talking about the Philly VA. Don't miss next week. There will be a lot of mocking, an exceptional amount of mocking. Thanks very much. WeThePeopleRadio.us for all further information.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Bush appeared this morning on Fox.